This is On the Other Hand. A podcast that explores politics and other issues of importance to Arkansans through conversations with community leaders. On the Other Hand is sponsored by Braver Angels in Arkansas, and Braver Angels is part of a national organization that aims to reduce political polarization by promoting honest and respectful dialogue among people of all political beliefs. Our progress as a community and country happens when we actively seek common ground with the other side so that problem solving can occur. Stay with us as we talk to another leader in Arkansas who works with others in the community who may have differing views from their own.
Hello, and welcome to On the Other Hand. I'm your host, Glenn White, here with my co-host, April Chatham Carpenter. Get ready for today's conversation as we learn how community leaders in Arkansas are helping work towards solutions.
We had a great conversation with Caroline Stevenson in our previous episode, and I'm really looking forward to continuing with the second part of the conversation. And in this next episode, we're going to actually hear more about how Caroline actually develops relationships through having conversations about people's life experiences and where they're coming from, and being able to focus on goals and creating things together with people who are different than us.
Do you have any particular successful experiences talking across the political divide? Any times when that seems to have worked out? Or I'm remembering you mentioned about your Jewish friend, and y'all found some common ground, and that's one of the things we seek in Braver Angels, is have people talk so they can find common ground. Did you ever find any common ground with any of those folks on the red side, or do you see any potential common ground now?
Well, the people that I have known who have become particularly, I would say, very, very red, I have found it. I'm not good at it. I probably need a lot more training in how to have those conversations. I think that my experience with my Jewish friend in talking about Israeli-Palestinian issues has been so productive and so positive. One other area I haven't mentioned in working with people from the other side, at the time that I was really involved with WAND, we had an opportunity to sponsor the Beacon of Peace and Hope that has been built over in North Little Rock at the Arkansas Inland Maritime Museum. And that's a wonderful monument if you haven't been over there. And so we were working with military people on raising the money and getting that built. And you know, we were kind of anti-military. They were military, and we were able to bridge that. And we had lots of times with the submariners over there, and we still do have a good relationship with them. I remember one of them saying, you know, if you're on a submarine, you really just don't want war. And I think, you know, having that perspective is helpful.
What did you find helpful, Caroline, as you were interacting? I'll just take that as an example. You all were working together to try to create something. What was helpful in terms of bridging the divides between you? What'd you do?
Well, I think it was helpful just to acknowledge how differently we came at solving the problems of the world, and we didn't set out to change one another's opinions, because I don't think that was particularly possible. We had a goal. We had a goal of raising the money and getting that structure built, and then raising the money to put the Peace Garden, which is around the Beacon of Peace and Hope. So we had a goal that we worked on together. I guess that was what motivated us to maintain our friendships, which we have done. And I think pretty successfully.
So you continue staying in relationship with these folks?
We do. Not as much as we did for a number of years. We had for about 4 or 5 years, Juan had a fundraiser that we did at the Arkansas Inland Maritime Museum on the 4th of July. It's a great place to go and watch the fireworks. And so we did that with the people who run the Arkansas Inland Maritime Museum. And I would encourage people to go visit that. They have a wonderful museum, small museum there about military issues. And it's great.
And that's interesting coming from you, because you talked about your anti-military views at times and stuff. So that's pretty remarkable that you can have that and have the good relationship with the people who were military members themselves. How do you put those two together and make it make sense?
Well, it's really not hard for me, because my dad was military and he was a lieutenant colonel in the Air Force. And I grew up in that atmosphere. And so I have a lot of respect for people who are in the military. I think that most people who are in the military really have great values. They see their work as being really important, and I don't denigrate that at all. I just think there needs to be a balance in understanding that that doesn't solve, you know, military power just does not solve the basic issues of people living together and not killing one another.
Yeah, I've said something like this before, that usually what happens in any kind of conflict that gets to the point of, you know, military action, you may have a lot of aggression, a lot of military force, a lot of deaths, a lot of destruction. But in the end, unless somebody just basically enslaves a population, it is resolved by getting together and talking and working out some agreement. So it would be good if we could have more people who skip the violence and the death and destruction and go straight to the talking. And that's kind of what we're in Braver Angels trying to do.
Well, I mentioned Erica Chenoweth, who wrote that book on why civil resistance works. And it's really interesting, because the research backs that up, that it causes, takes less money, it saves lives, and you get better results from it overall.
I was just talking to a group of people the other day and mentioned that this idea behind what we do is not a new one. It's focusing on positive relationships, and relationships have great power in changing things, in changing people's minds and lives. And if you work at that approach with the relationships, you find it makes a difference. And a lot of the research in the social sciences literature is backing that up, as she said. So you can pursue positive relationships, and even in areas as things you wouldn't think about. Like, for instance, in law enforcement, hostage negotiators now are trained in these, you know, techniques of appealing to developing a relationship at the moment in those negotiations, because that ultimately is more successful than a real tough, you know, hardcore approach. And in the same way with, you know, like intelligence work, where you're trying to interrogate individuals who may be terrorists, you know, or spies or something like that. Once again, using more of the relationship approaches winds up being more successful than torture, say.
Couldn't agree more.
One of the things I think that makes it difficult, though, in this whole area, is when you find yourself in an environment where you feel like, I don't think I can really work with the other side, or there are too many of them on the other side. I think about the areas in which you advocate might be seen as more blue. You've identified yourself as that, even though you didn't grow up that way. How do you get reds to be potentially interested in working with you when we have a largely red population here in the state?
Well, I don't have the answer for that at all. I would throw this out. I have a great deal of interest in radio. And, I run around the dial and I listen to what is on talk radio. And I think, why is there only one side on radio, promoting what sometimes seems like harmful rhetoric, I would say. And I think that the blue side has been really hesitant to say, we've got a story to tell. And we've got to find ways to tell the story so that it makes sense to people who don't agree with, what we're trying to promote. Maybe people on the far right, red side feel the same way, that they are not able to make us understand, where they're basic values are. I kind of think one of the things that particularly women could get together and have some agreement about is there's way too much money in politics. That seems to me to be right where we could start having some conversation. So I would just throw that out as a possibility.
So maybe finding something that we both care about.
Yeah.
We might come at it from different perspectives or different angles in terms of the policies that we might want to implement. But if we could both agree, you know what, we both agree that this is an issue.
And maybe not tackle it from the issue of school vouchers or whatever, but just from the standpoint that, that we want to have childcare for our children or something really, really basic,
I was just going to kind of react to that, the idea of money being an issue. I certainly agree with that. And I hear people on the red side too. So I don't know how you get to a common place there other than you have to start with talking. But certainly, given how much our laws currently in election promote giving of vast amounts, basically unlimited amounts of money to influence the messages that the different sides have. And I'm thinking, we have freedom of speech in this country. Well, back when the founders started our country, people used that speech by printing a pamphlet or by standing on the street corner and talking. And I'm thinking now, with all the money we've got, it's almost like somebody comes out with a huge megaphone and towering public address speakers that are louder than anyone else can possibly compete with. And something about that seems terribly unfair, but I don't know what to do about it. I hope you can find somebody smart to figure that one out and move us in the right direction.
Well, especially because, all that money in politics gets spent on media, and of course they're always happy to have campaign spots and all of that. I mean, there's a lot of money to be made in politics.
Yeah, I agree. April?
So I'm curious about how, when you were, going back to some things you said earlier in terms of developing relationships, how do you support and model a respectful approach in your interactions with others?
Well, I guess it sounds pretty basic and kind of trite, but I do like hearing what people have to say. I don't like it when people are ranting at me, but I do love a good conversation. And I like hearing people tell me where they are coming from, what their life experience has been, and so on. So, I find that part interesting. It's the haranguing that we get in politics, and particularly that you see in, Facebook postings and things like that. But just having calm, quiet conversation. This is what brings me to where I am. What brought you to where you are? Do we have something in common? I think that's fascinating. And what Braver Angels is doing in this arena is so important. I think y'all got it already figured out.
We do focus a lot on speaking and listening skills and that compassionate curiosity and humanizing the other person as opposed to just spouting facts at them. So, yeah, a lot of things that you've said.
Yeah, I was going to say it helps a whole lot if you do what you said you naturally do, Caroline, which is you don't go in expecting or trying to change people's opinions and views. You just go in to listen and understand where they're coming from, and then you try to help them understand where you're coming from. And that's pretty much our model, and then we sprinkle in the communication and conflict resolution skills to help that happen. But it starts with that attitude of, I'm going to talk with someone who I know is going to have a very different view, and I'm not going to let it get me into, my stump speech and trying to pound the table over my views. I'm just going to try to hear what they have to say, and hopefully I'll be able to talk to them in a way they can hear what I have to say. Whether or not we agree is a different matter, but let's have a civil conversation.
And it does have to be mutual, just listening to somebody else doesn't bridge the gap particularly. I think, going into it with this is a mutual back and forth, and yeah,
Yeah.
it's good. It's all good.
I do think, though, that sometimes you may initially be discouraged from working with someone because they're starting to kind of, put forth their idea and try to defend it and, maybe get emotional about it. But if you have that calming and civil, respectful approach that you continue with, and they see that you're not trying to change them, with some people, that can help them come back down emotionally and start to have more of a normal conversation. And so people have to be willing to sit through some of those difficult moments at first, So let me ask you where, I'm going to ask you kind of a big question. It's up to you how you want to answer it. But one of the things that we've started asking people lately is, where Arkansas has been and where it is now in terms of its politics and how the populace at large is. When you look at those things, whether it be politics or in some of those areas that you're active in, mental health, peace, interfaith relationships, where do you think the future is taking us in Arkansas? What is happening? Where are we going in Arkansas in some of those areas?
Well, I got to admit that I have pulled away from listening and, to the news, reading the news all the time. I don't feel like I've got a lot of influence in what our state legislature is doing. I really am more interested and involved now in the personal interrelationships. I'm not very optimistic that the side that I'm most concerned about has a very strong voice, although I live in an area in central Arkansas in Little Rock where we do have blue representation, but I don't know how some people managed to stay in the legislature and stay optimistic. People like Joyce Elliott, I marvel at her and her ability to maintain relationships within the state legislature. I think she's just brilliant in that, and maintain her optimism and good-heartedness. So to answer your question, Glenn, I got to say I'm not terribly optimistic right at this point that there is a balance here between what you call left and right. It just doesn't seem like we have that in Arkansas.
So it's very much right, and that seems accurate. Do you have any basis for hope in the future, or how we might move at least toward a little more balanced approach in Arkansas?
Well, I always thought that, you know, democracy had these swings, and we would swing right and we would swing left. And, you know, I remember the McCarthy era. You all may not remember that so well, but, you know, that era where, you know, communism was going to take over the United States, and there was so much fear-mongering in that. And that moderated over a period of time. So maybe we seek the middle. I'm not sure about that anymore, but that would be my hope, that we do swing pretty far one way or the other before we seek the middle ground.
Makes sense. What about the work that we do in Braver Angels? How do you see us helping possibly move in a more, if not moderate, at least balanced and civil approach?
Well, it seems to me that y'all have got that pretty well down. I don't know exactly how you... I got to admit, I keep thinking, oh, I've got to get involved with Braver Angels. And then I let time pass and I forget. I think, you know, how you get your message out is really important, and how you let people know the results of what you're doing. So I would just ask you, how do you get the message out to people?
That's a good question. I know, yeah, that maybe we need to work on that, April, because when she asked us that, I'm like, very good point. I know we have a newsletter and I send out emails occasionally. We offer programs and talks to civic organizations. You have any other thoughts, April, particularly from the national standpoint?
I'm just thinking about what one of our previous guests, Ray Hanley, said about, you know, we need to build relationships across the divide. So, and we've done that at the local level in terms of our executive group and steering committee, have some balanced leadership there. But if we really want to make a difference, I think that we're going to have to be working to do what you really did, which is to go into the places where we are not comfortable. Wherever that is, and I'm talking about us as individuals more than us as a Braver Angels group in general, but, you know, where is it that I'm not comfortable? If I could ask myself that, that's one of the things I'm taking away from what you've talked about, you know, where is it that I don't know the life stories, I don't know where these people are coming from, and I could learn, you know, and have those calm, quiet conversations that you were talking about. And I think it's one relationship at a time, and whether that be done at the level of the legislature, or whether that's done at the level of a school board, or whether that's done in a group that you're involved with at your local church. I know a lot of churches are divided these days with related to politics, and so. That's one of the things that I think about. And actually a question I was going to ask you as we get ready to wrap up here is, you know, based on your own experiences, what recommendations do you have for other people who would like to make a difference in their communities? like you have done?
Well, I guess first of all, I would say use your own life experiences to help direct you into the those places that you feel like you can really be helpful. That's probably number one for me because it's been my, life experiences that have led me to where I've been involved. I was thinking just as you were talking, April, about how to influence more people. And I think individually that can happen. I also think that taking a look at what resources Braver Angels has, I don't know if you have the ability to do some promotion through advertising or, to really get people to know that you're there, maybe a newsletter isn't enough. Maybe finding enough money to have a spot on the radio every now and then. I don't know if you've done things like that, but I think that that would be helpful. Community organizing is just, it's just a long haul. And you all are doing that and, using what resources you have for it. And I'd like to be helpful in some way.
Oh, we love that, and we love the work that you're doing, Caroline. Is there anything else that you'd like to share with our listeners as we wrap up here?
I've spent time volunteering down at the Clinton School, and I look at those young people who I've had a bunch of them who have lived with me here, and they are incredibly smart and determined and want to make a difference. So my optimism has to do with young people who see the writing on the wall in terms of climate issues and war and peace and all of that. So that's where my hope lies.
Glenn, any last-minute questions or comments?
I just want to thank Carolyn for being here. I knew that she would be a fascinating person to interview, and that she had some stories, but she had more than I realized. And I just so much appreciate the work that you've done and what you continue to do. And yeah, let's see if we can find ways to help learn from some of your wisdom and connections and work together.
We hope you enjoy the second part of today's discussion with Caroline Stevenson. Be sure to check out the first part of our two-part conversation we had with Caroline, as well as past podcast episodes of On the Other Hand on the Braver Angels Arkansas website. And you can go there and find it at arkansas.braverangels.org/podcast or on your favorite podcast site.
And on that particular website, you should be able to find a link to an email to us. The email is otherhandar@gmail.com. So if you have any feedback for us about what you like about our program, ideas for speakers or topics, or just anything you want to share with us, feel free to shoot us an email from that link.
On the Other Hand is sponsored by Braver Angels in Arkansas. Music was composed by Randall Standridge of Jonesboro, Arkansas, and was performed by the University of Northern Colorado Symphonic Band, Dr. Richard Main, conductor.
From your host, Glenn White,
and April Chatham Carpenter,
have a good evening, and let's all work to bring our community closer together.